Welcome to Business Spotlight on Money Radio WPSE. Business Spotlight is heard weekly at this time on 1450 AM and 107.1 FM. Today's guest is Jim Berlin, CEO at Logistics Plus. Hey, Jim, thanks so much for being in the Business Spotlight yet again. We'll jump right into it. I understand that 2019 was another record year for Logistics Plus. What kind of results are you expecting once the dust settles?
it was a big year. I think we reached the $250 million mark for the first time, so that's kind of impressive. And some growth in new industries and new areas. And so overall, like a really kind of a especially good year for us.
Jim, Logistics Plus had record years in 2017 and again in 2018. Did you really expect you'd have such a great year again in 2019?
I don't know what's coming every year, so we just kind of figure it out as we go. And the thing is, if you keep doing a good job, you get more opportunities to do more. So that's kind of our MO, and it keeps, so far, still working.
To what factors do you attribute your recent year's growth and success?
Yeah, three secrets: people, people, and people. As I like to say, logistics is something that has been going on for a long time. Everything moves, and just because you're a big company doesn't mean you get faster trucks or faster planes or cheaper fuel. You know, everyone does the same thing, and it's how you apply that, how you make things get from here to there, how you communicate, how you find ways to yes when a lot of things say no, can't happen. And that's what our customers love about us. We just keep doing, finding ways to get stuff done, become a solutions company. Now, don't bring them problems. There's always problems. So the best thing to do is solve the problem and come back and say, here's what I did, problem solved. And if you hire people that have that mentality, it kicks everyone's butt, because the big guys tend to be too set in their ways and not very creative. The little guys don't have the wherewithal sometimes to do things right, so we're kind of in the Goldilocks zone of just being not too big, not too small. And we've attracted, we got mom and pops as customers, and we got Google as customers. I mean, like it's Wabtec and GE. So we're able to kind of mold ourselves to the needs of our customer, be very nimble and flexible and responsive, and that's really the secret sauce is how we grow.
And really, that sort of philosophy is never going to change, right?
Finding a way, solutions company. And when I started with GE for the first customer, I quickly realized that if they see you, the execs see you walking down the hall and you're coming to complain or whine or bring a problem, they hate seeing you. But if they see you coming and they know, I bet this guy's got an answer for me, he's taking a headache away, they love to see you. So that's kind of, I learned that early on in our career. And I try to instill that in everybody.
I know from past interviews that you are not a big fan of having projections or revenue goals when the new year rolls around. You are a believer that if you do the right thing for your clients and your company, that numbers will take care of themselves, don't you?
Yep. I tell people I went to the Thomas School of Business, and they never heard of it. So they asked, what's that? I said, the old running back for the Buffalo Bills, Thurman Thomas. You get down low, find the hole, and then hit it.
That's really a separator for Logistics Plus, right?
I mean, it's kind of goofy, I guess. But I'm not a big believer in goals, because say your goal is to grow by $1 million. When you get to $1 million, do you stop? I mean, like, if you could have grown by $4 million, I mean, like I'm not sure why you limit yourself. I mean, to me, it's like when I coached for years, and my thing was, you try to win, you play hard. But if you play hard and do your best and get beat, that's life. That's, sometimes there's a better team. Sometimes the things don't fall your way, but you can still hold your head up. You did all you could do, and be proud, win or lose. And that's kind of my thing. If we give it our all, whatever it is, that's what it is, and we're okay with that.
Jim, with the tariffs, 2019 presented a lot of challenges for you guys. Was there one thing about 2019 that was more challenging than everything else?
Not the tariffs so much. I mean, tariffs were an opportunity for us to kind of help out our customers navigate that, so that's a good thing. Our biggest challenge in 2019 was the WeWork debacle, their IPO debacle. So WeWork is our giant customer of ours, and they're still a giant customer of ours. And you know, that was a surprise to them, and it got tough because, you know, they went from super growth to no growth, and so we had to, you know, navigate that. So that was a distraction, but we've hung with them, and they're, you know, hopefully figuring this out and gonna come out of this thing okay on the other side. And we still do a lot of their installs and warehousing and worldwide. So still, you know, but it was a, you know, the uncertainty. Like I always say in business, uncertainty is the worst thing. You know, you don't know, are they gonna pull out? Are they gonna collapse? I mean, you gotta kind of navigate all that and try to, you know, do all you can to help them succeed, even though there's other factors that you don't control at all that, you know, could change that.
You know, that's really a strength of the company, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, that's a big hit. But, you know, like 10, 12 years ago, GE went from us doing everything to letting other forwarders in. And it was a hit for us because it was our biggest customer at the time. But if you look at our growth chart, you wouldn't notice it. And that's, you know, that's kind of luck of the draw that we've always seemed to come up with other things to fill the void when we lose something. We don't lose things very often, but we've been fortunate where something always kind of backfills it. So same thing here. I mean, a lot of we learned a lot from WeWork was, you know, really the, you know, giant in the world on co-working space, and so we learned a lot. You know, we did installs all over the world. I mean, 40 different countries, 60th floor of, you know, of a skyscraper in Manila. I mean, like, we had to get real good real fast, and we actually helped them succeed. You know, the fact that they were not pricing right or whatever, that's not our control. But we learned a lot, and other companies see that. So we're kind of in demand, just like we were with GE. When GE was the biggest company on earth, a lot of their employees got hired to go to run other companies. They took us with them. So your reputation is all you got, you know. So if you do a good job and people can rely on you, wherever they end up going, they tend to take you with them.
Jim, how important is developing new clientele every year for your continued growth?
Because you never know what's going to happen. So you always kind of, you never rest on your laurels and you stay hungry. So, you know, the stuff that, you know, Scott and Ryan have done as far as marketing, you know, what our people have learned and then able to take to other potential customers and say, look, this is what we did here. We can do the same for you. Those are the kind of things we're always doing. You know, like, do you want fries with that too? I mean, that's kind of our... we don't have a big sales force at all, just a couple of people. So I tell everyone, part of your job is sales because you're the one that knows the customer best. And, you know, ask if there's other opportunities. You love what we do for you in this regard. Can we do other things as well? And that's a good model of growth.
You know, word of mouth is really getting bigger and bigger for you guys and really helps generate new business, right?
I mean, one of the biggest growths this year for us is with Google, which is one of the three largest companies on earth, I think. And that came from a guy that worked for us for years and then went to Amazon, then went to Google and called me up 2 years ago and said, I need some help. And we started out with three people there, and now we're up to about 40 people there, and we're doing all kinds of things for them. And that, you know, it was just somebody that knows we're good. In fact, I just talked to him the other day, and he says, man, thank you. You guys really have done a great job. And we get all kinds of emails from his people saying, thank you for bringing LP to our world because they're so good. It's kind of cool seeing those things all the time. We get a lot of that, actually.
How have things been going on the hiring side? Are you continuing to find the talent that you need to keep up with all of this growth?
Yes. We are fortunate, a competitive advantage, being in Erie, Pennsylvania, I believe, for our industry, because... in the bigger cities, you know, you have a lot of universities, but you have a lot of competition. There's a lot of others like us around there. Erie, we're kind of the one big game in town, and so these feeder programs we have from the universities leads kids to come here and see what we're like, and if it gets in their blood, a lot of them stay. And I think it's so you can get a great education at the four universities and not have to leave Erie to find a cool global job somewhere. I mean, you can stay right here and do this. So that's another word of mouth thing. I mean, we got kids that come from Penn State again, and they tell their buddies and like, wow, this is a cool place to work. And so people come to us. I mean, it's really kind of cool how that works.
That commitment from Logistics Plus to the internship program is here to stay, right?
Yeah, we've been doing that forever. It's kind of getting more formal lately. But yeah, just you know, and it's, they're close, so they're here. They get a good high school education, a good college education, and then they come. And most of them are not learning logistics at all. I mean, they're learning marketing or they're learning business, but they come here. And this is kind of an industry that either gets in your blood or else you, like someone said, either you stay 2 weeks and run away or you stay 20 years, you know. And so these kids can come for a semester, and by the end of that semester, they can say, wow, this is something I'd love to do, or like, no way, man, I'm out of here. And it's good to know that. It's kind of like an audition, you know. You show us what you got, and we see if you like us and whether we like you, and if so, we probably have a place for you.
When companies can make a commitment to Erie, it only benefits everyone in this area, right?
It's a cure for the brain drain. And then what we're finding, too, is some other people who left under your assumption they got to leave are now finding they can come back. And you have someone coming back to Erie, and you provide them a good job, and they can be closer to their family now, a little older in life. That's a cool thing. I like that.
I understand that Logistics Plus received quite a number of accolades in 2019, and I'm going to rattle off a couple here, including the Multi-Channel Merchant Top 3PL, Top Freight Broker Firm and Warehousing Provider Recognition from Transport Topics, Great Place to Work Certification, a Best Medium-Sized Workplace Award, a SDCE Top 100 Supply Chain Project Award, Top 50 3PL Recognition from Global Trade Magazine, and you also made the Inc. 5000 list for the fifth time for outstanding growth. You must be so proud. And what all does this mean to you, Jim?
Yeah, it does, but never believe your own propaganda. I'm a big believer. Don't let it go to your head. You have to earn this every day, and you can't relax, and you got to stay hungry and stay passionate. And it's nice to get recognized, but you know that doesn't guarantee anything tomorrow if we screw off, so we got to keep working hard.
I know how much value you place on your team. Does it mean a lot to you when they say that this is a great place to work?
Yeah, that did. The great place to work was like a humbling award. I loved, it was almost 100% of the people said it was a great place to be. And you know, it's funny, like I think some people probably think that you do this, like, you know, you have a gym here and a trainer here because it reduces your health insurance costs, so it's a financial decision. And it may be, but that's so far from why we do it. We just do it because it's a good thing to do, and people need to blow off steam, and then they don't have to spend time outside of work getting a half hour in the gym. They can do that here. And you try to do the right thing, treat people right. It's not for any ulterior motive. I mean, when we were a small company, we had a gym. I mean, it wasn't as nice as the one we have now, but we've always, you know, believed in treating people well and trying to make their lives easier. We said years ago, I mean, 20 years ago, we had a kid that he was the son of one of our employees that we hired, and we had him run errands. It didn't work out very well. but my thought back then was I gave him my car, and I said, look, all these people are busy. They're working hard. So if you can use my car, and if you can go walk their dog, so they don't have to go home to walk the dog, or drop off their laundry or pick up their groceries. And, you know, I thought it was a great idea. He ended up doing some stupid things. But I've always had the idea of trying to make people's lives easier because they're giving you all they got, you give them all you got in return.
That is just so cool that you make an investment in your employees' health.
With a gym and a trainer. I mean, we have my old personal trainer from 15 years ago is back here now doing it for everybody. And we have a masseuse that comes in once a week and gives back massages and shoulder massages. And I mean, just like, I mean, to me, if you spend more time at work than you do anywhere else in life. And so if you're with people that you like, so hiring the right people, and if you have perks like that, it makes it like, you know, I know some people turn that around like it's a bad thing. Like with Google, they just keep them there forever. Well, I'm not sure that's why they're doing it. I mean, it's nice to offer, there's always a flip way of looking at things. But to me, the fact that we have a gym here means people don't have to go. I go at 5 o'clock in the morning, but not everyone's nutty as me getting up at 4:30. So this way they can do it during the day and not have to take personal time for it. And it just, and, you know, and then my thought is that the old saying, if you want something done, ask a busy person. You can spend a half an hour in the gym and still get all your work done. It's how you manage your time. You know, when people say, oh, they don't have time to do it, I never buy that. You have time to do what you choose to do.
You know, it really is the little things that mean so much, don't they?
Yeah, I every year I send out a personal email to everybody in the company thanking them. Sometimes there's a raise in maybe, but I get a lot of notes back saying, you know, thank you for the raise, but your note, you know, what you said a couple things about me that made me feel good. That's always been the case. You know, like I said, as a coach, you know, you give a player a hug or slap on the back of the head. I mean, you get a relationship with them that's personal, and I think that matters. It means more than people think it does. It's not just dollars and cents.
Okay, Jim, let's shift gears to the new year. What can we expect from Logistics Plus in 2020, and do you think you can have another record year?
I don't know that, but the roadmap is there for a lot of new opportunities we have. As I said, our knowledge and skill set has spun us off into other niches that really have huge potential. I can't even talk about some of them, but some pretty interesting, big name, very, very interesting project opportunities. So that's but we had a guy I interviewed this summer who, an accountant, that we're looking to hire, and before he took the job or decided to take the job, he said, "I have one question for you. Where will I be in 5 years?" I said, "Well, you can't work here because I don't know where you'll be on Monday for sure." So I'm not a big believer in knowing what the future holds. You know, we just kind of see.
How do you maintain your company culture?
It's hard because people are always telling you that, like, you can't. Like I said, we have no, you know, HR manual, we have no org chart, we have no budget, we have no business plan, no strategy. I mean, that should not work, especially at this size of a business. And yet, it record year after record year, so it does. I'm not quite sure how. Right, Silsby's up here from Houston. He says, "I love this company. It lets an idiot like me make decisions." And I said, "Well, I'm an idiot too, and I'm making decisions. Like it's no different, you know." But there's something to that, though. There's something to unleashing people and saying, let's take this on. Let's conquer the world, you know. It kind of drives them and gets them excited and enthused. And, yeah, it keeps going, you know.
You know, really, you don't want to overthink the success you have had, right?
I mean, really. I mean, a lot of you're one, probably. You know, like, you have to kind of suspend your disbelief. And we've got, like, Emil's one. I mean, we've had some leaders in the company that, like, no friggin' way does this work. But over time, I'm saying, okay, I guess it does. You know, I'm not sure quite how, but... And so they then kind of join in the flow and makes us even stronger, you know, because they're the doubters, you know.
Jim, I understand from previous interviews, Logistics Plus has developed quite a bit of a technical expertise over the past few years. Are there any thoughts on the role of technology and how Logistics Plus continues to keep pace or even lead in this area?
I always said what we do is we move things, and that's all logistics is. But lately, you do need more of the bells and whistles. You end up with a lot of business intelligence that you have, and you can present to your customer, help them get better by the things you see and do. And that's we've developed our own software. We have like 50 developers around the world working on stuff for us, and really kind of cutting edge. Things that make everyone knows Amazon world, so everyone wants to be able to push a button, have things happen. We're doing that in a lot of our areas as well. So it's a big part. You know, I'm an old truck driver, so I always joke that technology really doesn't change much in that you still got a forklift and a pallet and a truck and 60 miles an hour and, you know, still very manual getting something from here to there. But you do have to have the bells and whistles now. People want that, and that becomes more of a pitch for us. Sometimes the moving freight part isn't what gets us in the door. It's the reporting and the data we can show customers.
Is it a big motivator to lead in the tech arena?
You can't be without that. Yeah. And you still have to do, I mean, and the tech's not the cure-all. It's not a magic wand. And things can still go wrong if, you know, if AI's out there. Like I always said, if technology can do 95% of something, you have 10,000 shipments a day, still 500 shipments a day that's going to go wrong. And that's when it needs human intervention and someone to, you know, work this out, find out what's going on. So there's always roles for that, but a lot of it becomes more automated. The easy ones are easy and the hard ones are hard, and you got to get people involved in the hard ones. So that's what we're especially good at.
I've heard that Logistics Plus has an especially unique turnkey platform called FF&E Plus that it has been using to penetrate the furniture, fixtures, office supplies, and equipment markets. Are you able to say anything more about that solution?
No, just it came out of the WeWork software we developed, and it's just a very slick tool that actually it got developed for furnitures and fixtures, but it can be used in solar industry. It can be used in the hardware industry that we do a lot of freight for. So it's got a lot of applications where it's kind of like a shopping cart, and you can take this solar panel and put it in this field, in this row, in this line. It's all coordinated on the computer, so it's pretty slick. So we think that's going to be a big part of the future growth. And to your tariff question earlier, solar took a big hit in the last couple of years because of that, and now it's coming back strong. That was one of our biggest markets, and we're getting a lot of old customers coming back saying we're back in business, so we're getting calls from them. So that's kind of good.
Jim, any final comments or insights that you can share with our audience for 2020?
No, just we had a great holiday party. 500 people came from around the world, and nobody got hurt or arrested, so big success. And just looking forward to more growth and more new. I love the energy of the new kids we've been hiring. They come in and the feedback, and usually they're a friend of somebody here already. That's probably 9 times out of 10. It's somebody they know that works here and says, you got to join the fun. And I always go back to the kid that recommended them, and they say, oh, man, he loves it, or she loves it. So just we have like a feeder network now that brings these talented, smart kids. And millennials get a bum rap that they don't work hard, because here they do. They work their butts off, but we make it fun for them. So it's not drudgery. It's kind of energy. So,
Jim, one last question, and really do appreciate you coming on yet again for being in the business spotlight. It seems like 2020 is going to be an even bigger year, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't know. We have more opportunities, whether we need to, you don't want to put people in if there's no role for them, because then they're not learning and they don't get a good feel for things. But if we keep growing, we'll be adding more and more interns.
Thanks for listening to Business Spotlight on Money Radio WPSE. Business Spotlight is heard Fridays at 12:30 p.m. and Saturdays at 9 a.m. Join us again next week as Dr. Ford, Chancellor at Penn State Barron, is in the Business Spotlight.